This is a part two series of entrepreneurship. First, I want to say that my name is Jesse Peterson. I'm the president of Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And the purpose of Bond is to rebuild the black community by rebuilding the black man. We realize that unless the black man change, the black people can hang it up. We will destroy ourselves. We deal with every aspect of the black man, every aspect. So today we're dealing with entrepreneurship. And in case you missed last week's show, because this is part two, call the station or call my office and we will replay it. Again, my phone number is 213-759-3844. Just call me. My first guest is Marvin Laurie. Mm-hmm. He's the president of a Coalition of Minority Building Fund. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Jones, Tradition of California, and Isaac Gordon, a business consultant. I want to talk about commitment, but during the last break, it was brought up that we should talk about how do you start a business. So let's talk about that for a minute. And Malcolm, since you brought it up, how do you start a business? Welcome to the Jesse Peterson Show.
Having the desire to... I saw business as... I never worked for anyone. I've went straight from mowing lawns to handyman to construction, now general contractor. Yeah.
But you know, Malcolm, I just want to stop you there. I like your story. I want you to know that. I always talk about it, even when I go out and speak to other people. Because there's a notion that you must be educated, you must have a lot of money, you must be a certain kind of person, you know, to start a business. And I think that your story is really good. So just don't just run through it. Tell us a little bit more about how you got started, how you built your first house or your first building. How did that take place? Do you remember the story?
I think so.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I've always liked to work, and someone saw me when I was mowing lawns. They needed a handyman to do some things.
How old were you at that time?
About 17.
Okay.
And I did some repairs around their house, and they had a dilapidated garage in the back. And I asked them about it. And they asked, could I rebuild the garage? I told them, sure. I have never done it before, but I knew I could. Right. So I just took on the task and got a book on it, how to frame a wall and what were the necessary tools, and I just went on to work.
And from that?
From that, I went to room additions, and from room additions, remodels, and custom homes.
And so the point that I want to make is that you can do it if you are willing to do it, if you just step out and start doing it. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. If you first of all, when you start a business, you should have something in mind that you like to do, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be times when the work is not going like you want to. The people are just frustrating to deal with. And if you have a love for your work, you'll just naturally have a motivation to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Marvin, you're mm-hmm. a business consultant as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give us some more ideas of how to start a business.
Well, my situation is very unique, because what I did was I went from the corporate structure, so it was a very structured atmosphere.
Okay.
When I left that atmosphere, I took the same thing to my business. And I looked at California, because I was raised here. I was born in Texas, but I was raised here. And I knew that I couldn't, there was no way that a 20-year-old was going to break into the market that I wanted to break into. And at the time, the Sun Belt, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, was very popular. And you could buy property there a lot cheaper. And I just moved my parents home. So I had a base to go to. I just went back home, and my father had just sold a couple of, he had just retired as a young man. He was 43 or 44 years old with 20 years on the job, which is not unlikely for a black man, because he left the Navy and went right into the corporate structure also, mm-hmm. and put 20 years in, and then said he wanted to own his own business. So he took money with him, and I was able to tap into that source.
Okay.
My story is similar to his, and I went, found a house that I could build, and had never built one before, and everyone thought I was crazy, and they'd walk down the street and laugh at me. And, you know, when the house was finished, and I owned it free and clear, I told my father, I said, well, look, I'm going to go borrow against it now. Right. He didn't know nothing I was talking about, but I just took my corporate life to that, and I knew you could get money on a house that you owed nothing on.
Right.
He didn't. So I went to the bank and in my jeans, and I said, look, I need this, and what are you going to do with it? I'm going to start a business, and they gave it to me. You know, and I went from there.
That's good. You know, I'm thinking of the man or woman that right now they're working on someone else's job, or or maybe they don't even have a job. They may be on the welfare or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they want to start a business. They want to get away from this mold that they're in right now. What should they do, Isaac?
They've got to find what they want to do. They've got to find a product or a service they want to provide. And
but let me say this. Let me just stop right there. The average person don't know what they want to do. They're frustrated right now. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what my gift is. I can't find my way. And I'm tired of going to work, and I'm tired of the welfare check. They cannot find out what they want to do.
Well, you really don't want to go into business if you don't know what you want to do.
Exactly.
Because no matter how determined you are with the business, if you don't know what you want to do, I really can't tell you what to do. What you got to do is find something you like doing, or find something that you've seen other people doing that you might be interested in.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got to sort of go that way. And, you know, before you start a business, you want to make sure that's something you want to do for the next 30, 40 years.
I mean, how do you find something that you like to do? When I started janitorial service, I absolutely did not like doing janitorial work. I just didn't like it at all. But I wanted to break out of this mold that I was in. I wanted to do something. And so
sometimes your business is sculptured in midstream. You know, sometimes you just jump out there, especially a person on a situation like welfare, uh-huh. where they're getting money coming in and they just want to start baking cookies or whatever it is. They just go out and do it, and they knock on some doors and see if they'll carry their cookies, and some other doors may, once they do that, some other doors will be opened up to them. They may have to adjust their business. They may see that they like doing something else better. But if you don't get started with something, you can always sit there and just calculate in your mind what I'm going to do and how must I do it. And you never get anything done because you just don't make the first step.
When a person is lost as far as knowing what to do, what is wrong with that person? Is something wrong with that person?
Nothing wrong with that person. That person's like all of us were at one time. You're just uncertain about what it is you want to do or how you want to go about getting it done, so it's hard to get started. It's not that people don't want to start. They're just trying to figure out, well, what do I need to do to get started? That's the hardest part of a business is, what do I need to do to get started? How do I get started? Where do I go?
See, I disagree with all of that. I think that proper example would stop that. If you got a good example in the neighborhood, the reason all the kids want to sell dope is because they look at the example. If you got an example out there, then that's what will tell you what to do. We lost all of that when we integrated. There were no more there were very few mom and pop things that could withstand that type of influx. I mean, once there was integration, then it allowed them into, you know, come. I mean, you could always hear about, you know, the black-owned cleaners and markets and the rest. You know, there may be one or two left, you know.
I agree with that. During the 20s and 30s,
right.
You're right.
It was thriving because our neighborhoods were like, we fought the Koreans and the Japanese. But if you go down Olympic Boulevard, they'll tell you the example's what's making them do what they do. So, that's why they're successful, not because they're smarter than us or none of that, because I would put a lot of black students up against any of them, and you give them the same benefits, nutrition, and the same types of teachers, they would come out equally because God created us that way. If the interest is there.
How did integration interfere with that? How did integration mess us up?
Well, integration gave us superstars who aren't going to do anything. You know, it's very uncommon for a man with Mr. Gordon's educational background to come back into the community. I talked to a lot of Mr. Gordons, but he's the only one that rallied with me. You know, I mean, they just, once they got it, it's just hard to come in and look at the destruction that's going on, the destruction of the people, and it's hard for me to look at, but I excuse it.
Let me ask this. If we had good fathers, and Bond is about rebuilding the man, mm-hmm. the father, if we had a father in the home that was doing these things, Would it be easier
well, just,
for
just
we wouldn't have to
the
have
the statement you just made? If we had good fathers,
yeah.
Well, isn't welfare set up so that there's no father in the house?
Okay, but I want to make that point because I asked earlier, what is wrong with us that we can't see how to start a business?
Right.
So
well,
now I
want
to go back.
We don't want to get into
the
conspiracy theory, but
does
it
that
is
play
a conspiracy.
A role?
It was something that was set up to say that if we're going to pay the mother, there can't be a father there. If the father, and once the father's broken down and he leaves the house, there is no house. No matter how much the woman props it up, and she did a great job or the best job she could do, she's not made for that job. Yeah. There must be two to make this team work.
And because the father failed, could that be the reason that we can't
exactly.
see as we can't see how to start a business?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Because now you don't have examples.
Right.
You know, we can talk about it. If you have an example, it's easier for you to look at those examples and say, now which one of these do I like? Which one do I do best? All of us can't be construction workers. All of us can't be doctors. But if you got a doctor, you can show them, or you have a construction worker or whatever, you can show them, you're closer to getting a success out of it than a non-success.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have nobody but someone who makes a lot of money and he's doing it all illegally, we wonder why they want to do that. Why is that their mentor?
Mm-hmm.
That's because that's all they see. They don't see me. They don't see Mr. Gordon. They see more of us. But usually when I'm seen, I'm moving from trying to just keep these bills paid from the conspiracy that I've got trapped into, too, which is a 10-year conspiracy.
Let me ask Isaac, what made you come back within the black community and be that example?
I don't think I ever left. I don't think I came back. I think I've always been here. I grew up in Florida. I grew up in a little city, and most of you guys are probably familiar with it. It had the riots prior to the L.A. riots, the riots in Liberty City. That's the area I'm from, basically, Liberty City. And like I said,
my
dad. Yeah,
I remember seeing you running in.
I had the big TV. I had the widescreen. That was me. No, I was thinking large. But anyway, the reality is, like I said, my dad owned a grocery, quote unquote, grocery liquor store in Liberty City. So I watched my dad, you know, run a liquor store, grocery store. And, you know, I watched my mom. She worked in the store, but my dad pretty much, you know, he ran a lot of the business operations. He had a trucking company. He ran the side. He also had a construction company. And so just watching him, I thought that everybody just worked in the neighborhood. That was what everybody did. I never realized that people want to go work for other people their whole life. So the reality is that just watching him, I just wanted to do what he was doing because he had fun doing it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Really? Isaac, I find that a lot of black people, not all, but a lot don't want to come back because if they come back within the community with their business, they're going to be ripped off. They're going to be robbed. They're going to be, you know, how black folk come in your store, they want credit. You know, they don't treat you right. So a lot of black people don't come back for that reason. Do you find that to be the case?
No, I don't find that to be the case. I mean, some of my clients, I mean, I guess personally, so I have some of the larger clients in the black neighborhood as far as
they live
black,
in the black
entrepreneurs.
They live in the black community?
A lot of them live in the black community as well. But the biggest problem, I think, is that a lot of black professionals don't feel like their services are valued in the community. That is, you know, for example, let's say looking back, a lot of blacks don't want to pay other blacks what they might pay. Like, for example, I'm a CPA.
Uh-huh.
If I tell them it's $100 an hour, there's a problem with that.
Absolutely.
But they'll go find somebody else, and $100 is no problem, and they'll brag about how they pay $100.
That's right.
And so a lot of black professionals feel like, you know, we're being criticized in the community, but yet we're being asked to come into the community.
Uh-huh.
So the reality is I do a lot of stuff in the community. I don't charge people because I feel like if you can't pay me what I'm worth, just don't pay me.
Can you do it free?
A lot of stuff I do it with intentions, let's say.
Really?
That is it.
So I need to hire you there with intention.
You can hire me with intentions, but your intentions must be favorable to me. That's the reality of business. That is that, you know, in business you find real quick that if somebody tells you to get something free, it's not free. You're going to pay for it some way or another, and, you know, that's the reality of business.
Malcolm, do you find that black people don't want to pay for the service?
Isaac was saying they want to pay. I don't know if they want to pay or not, but they don't want to pay as much.
Right.
Yeah. Especially when I got started, I was 10 years ago. You know, a lot younger than I am now, and coming in, being a young baby face and black. You know, I just looked like
you still had that young baby face and black.
And just looked like all great. You know, I'll do a good job, but not willing to pay the dollar. I remember one case, there was a job I was doing, it was a plumbing job, and I charged the lady when I first getting started, I charged her $75 for a $400 job. A plumber had came in prior to me and was going to charge her $400 to change a faucet. He was going to bust a big hole in the wall in her tile and take out the faucet. I figured out a way to take out the faucet without destroying the tile, put the faucet back in. I spent a half a day, charged $75, and they thought it was too much.
Wow.
So,
Why is that? Why? Because it's true. That is so true.
Well, I think the reason is that they don't feel like we have the expertise. We don't have the professionalism. We don't have everything that goes along with it, like insurance and the, you know, running four or five trucks. And you see, they don't see that. So they don't mind calling AD Dude to do it, even though he would tear the place up and charge him $1,000. He's going to come out there and he's going to wear him out. But when that's this right. man comes out and does the same job, half the time AD Dude will call him to do the job.
Yeah. I know.
You see?
You know, when we come back, I want to talk about not having the professionalism, because I happen to know Malcolm and I've seen his work. Mm-hmm. And no white man or Japanese or Korean can do it as well as he. And he presents himself well, mm-hmm. too. So I want to talk about that just a little more, right? We're going to take a break and I'll be back in a minute.
Community by rebuilding the black man. Meetings held every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Location, 2625 West Manchester Boulevard, Inglewood, California, 90305. For more information, call area code 213-759-3844. That's 759-3844. Bond, rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man.
Welcome back to the show. Before I went on break, I want to understand, why do blacks expect a lot for nothing from other black businessmen? Marvin, you was talking about it.
Well, see, I think that's a misconception. I think all people expect a lot. But I think that we focus on minorities because minorities may be a lot of our clients. My clients don't happen to all be minority. And believe me, some of the non-minority ones eat me up worse than the minority ones. The minority ones are hard to deal with when on the level of how they look at me. What am I to them? You see, they just don't. I don't seem to fit the bill of whatever their perception is.
Let me say something. One thing I know for sure, there is this notion that black people don't want to pay blacks the same as they would pay a white. They really do want more from you for nothing, for less, than they would a white. They'll go to a white and pay them a little more freelier, mm-hmm. or happier than they would you.
Yeah.
That's a fact, man.
I think it's a fact. But I just think that there's more to it than just that.
I know, and I want to understand.
We look at each other, it's just like that old thing they used to do with the giving the baby the black doll and the white doll. What do we think is beautiful? It's the same analogy. What do we think is legitimate? Just because he's a general contractor and he's got a license, he's got a license, he's non-minority, he's minority, they just look at them differently. They feel like they're legitimate and we're illegitimate. It's we have the same criteria. Everything is the
I'm
same.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No,
it's part of it. They don't expect us to do a better job?
No. I think the root of it comes back to the marketing that's been done on us, how we've been integrated and how we make.
I just said yes to that. I saw you shake your head. It's part they don't expect us to do a better job?
No. They expect you to do a better job.
Yeah, exactly.
They do?
You're held more critical. Yeah, yeah.
When I go to court.
You're under microscope.
When I go to court, do I feel safer with a white lawyer or a black lawyer?
Depends on who you are.
If I'm going to jail for life and I had to choose two lawyers, there's a black lawyer and a white lawyer, what lawyer would I choose? Most apt to choose?
Well, you need to go ask that guy on Different Strokes.
Well, because that's the best lawyer out there,
and he happens to
be. I'm trying to help us understand, trying to make this point.
I can go out there and get Johnny Cochran.
Depends on what I'm into.
I mean.
But I'm just saying, within the black community, I know you guys, I like you got a lot of conversations, you're not black. Let's talk about the black folks. Whose lawyer are they apt to choose?
Oh, most likely, the black person's going to pick white.
That's right.
Now, most likely. But
there's
a big misconception of it because I believe the guy probably killed somebody. Johnny Cochran got him off. And he was black. So we have the ability to do it.
Okay, I know we got Johnny Cochran now. But what I'm trying to understand.
And see, Johnny Cochran loses it because now he won't take cases.
Okay,
he,
but then that's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is, why would I choose this white lawyer over the black lawyer? Before Johnny Cochran, let's not talk about him. But why would I choose this white lawyer?
Because we've been indoctrinated to do it. We've always thought that they can do a better job. We perceive that the judge and the jury is going to look at them more favorably for doing. It's the slave master thing. They're helping us. We can't do it without them.
Okay. We don't see them in a better light than we see ourselves.
Okay. Now you done.
It's the whole reason behind the coalition, because we have to be willing. Forget about bringing them down there to open a business. Bring them down there to just pass on what they know. If we can do that and we can teach each other, then we're going to have better people coming out of that. Our children will feel prouder, and they won't go out. Exchanging black dollars don't mean nothing if you don't know nothing about it.
That's right.
You know, you can exchange them all you want, but if you don't exchange them everywhere you go, and there ain't Marvins everywhere, because everywhere I go, when I walk into a car dealership, you could run up to me forever. You're going to be running in circles.
Do you deal with white people the same way you deal with blacks?
I'm very tough on them.
Are you tougher on white?
I'm a negotiator, so I'm very tough on them. No, I deal them. I see no difference.
Okay.
There is no difference as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, let me say this, and then he have a question. I'm just going to throw this out. Mm-hmm. I don't know everything. Before, when I would choose a white lawyer over a black lawyer, mm-hmm. it was because I knew that the white man was sort of weak. He was sort of shy. He didn't have the strength to stand up really fight for me.
The white man or the black man?
The black man.
Okay.
The black man didn't have, you know, I may not would have said it out before now because I'm different now. But inside of me and somewhere, I knew that if we got in that court, I've never been to jail. I need to say that. Because they'd be saying, oh, I didn't know he'd been to jail. I've done a lot of things, but never to jail. But for some reason, I would know that that black man just didn't have the courage and the strength to fight for me. I would think that he would cower down in some kind of way.
But see, the thing that you miss on that
is... Well, you would think that because you think that about yourself.
Right.
But that's not necessarily
true. Once you change the image of yourself, then you don't have that image anymore.
That's a good point, then. So the reason that we see each other that way is because something's wrong with ourselves?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and we see them on
self-taught. We depend on them for everything. We are non-producers and full consumers. All we do is consume it. If you don't make nothing, zero, and we can't just talk about it being money, because money's not the only thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, we would sit down and whittle a doll. You know, in the old days, we won't do nothing. Now, we would rather sit on the corner and do nothing than to go out and just clean up our own neighborhood.
That's
exactly right.
And our neighborhoods are filthy.
Absolutely.
So if they're filthy, then it can tell you that they've done a great job on us. If we'll live around that filth, and we're doing nothing unproductive all day.
Marvin, let me say this. You're saying they done a great job on us. And what do you mean? Who are they, and what kind of job are they doing? How did they do this job? And the reason I'm asking, because we are talking about entrepreneurship,
right.
And we need to understand what the problem is. Who are they?
They, as far as I'm concerned, is a European society, European thought pattern.
And that's white folks.
No, because black people have been indoctrinated so far into it, you have black people that feel the same way. Clarence Thomas feel the same way. He don't feel that way now, but he did feel that way.
But when you say European, are you talking about white people as a whole? And then black that have turned white?
I think it's a European thought pattern. I think that 50 years ago you could have said they were all Caucasian.
Okay.
I don't think today.
But we have black now that have turned white.
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay. And so they did it to us. And what did they do to us?
Well, they gave
us... And real back, because I want them to see
industrial
that.
Industrial mass marketing is what they did.
They did it to us.
Yes.
And that's why we don't have the courage or the know-how to do it?
No, and that's why we live in a house where the car is bigger than the house.
Really?
Yeah.
You agree with that, sir, Malcolm?
That...
they did it to us.
They? Well, it depends on the they. I think it's... I see not only black people that are in the same... mess that we're in, but there's a class of white peoples, Mexican mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. that are in the same class, and it's they who did it to us, and I think it's we just bought a lie about ourselves. That's all it is. It's really us that did it to ourselves, but we didn't have the understanding to know that we can pick ourselves up as a group, so we just lay down. We just stay down. As far as the I think you're thinking like there's a group of white people sitting down at a table and saying we're going to make the black people suffer. I don't.
A lot of black people think that.
That's a conspiracy theory, right?
Yeah.
They think that.
But
I don't
silly?
Think that.
Oh, you think they're silly, right?
I think that there's not a conspiracy. I think that there was something that they felt. There was only one way that someone had to be on top. They were going to make sure that they were always at the top. And they were, and we talk about them doing it to some Mexicans, some whites. In every war, you got to sacrifice some, you know? I mean, they talked about Desert Storm. How much friendly fire did we get?
You know, I want to talk about Clarence Thomas for a minute. Because I understand why you made that statement about him, and because I love him so much, I have to respect him.
I love him so much, too.
I have to fear
him. But I think
he
had to meet the devil.
He met the devil when he met Anita.
That's right. Now you're getting my understanding.
Oh, okay. And he stood the test.
Yes, he stood the test. All right. He had to come back to what reality was. He had left. Once you're chauffeured around so long, you don't understand how it is to live down in the community no more. So that's why he felt that affirmative action or none of that was needed never again. That's not true.
You think
you need a little of it, and the rest is self-help. But you got it. There are racists out there, and you better protect yourself against them. And some laws just have to do it for you.
Black people are racist, too.
You better believe they're
racist,
too.
Because black people hold each other back more than the white person does.
Well, I would rather be stopped by a white police than a black police.
I'm not talking about a police.
Well, I'm just giving you an example. An example is, if you're going to stop me and you're going to beat the crap out of me, the black one's going, he going to show for his buddies. He going to show so he can go into the police station with his chest out.
But
you
a black
see, instead of saying, look what I'm doing to my brother.
But a black person that's trying to stop you in business, I mean, I wouldn't want to be stopped by that either.
Right, they're not going to patronize you. Exactly. That's same difference. I could have gave that example, too.
Are we winding up? God, I can't believe that. We still didn't get to your question. Will you be cool for a minute until we come back? We're going to do a part three series, all right? And I'll take your course. I appreciate your patience. And I know you come a long way today. But is there one thought you want to leave real quick, anybody, about starting a business? How about your phone number, Isaac? Give us your phone number real quick.
My phone number is there, code 310-470-1944 or 213-292-4530.
You know, we're going to do another part. We're out of time already. I can't believe, because there's so many things I want to know now. We're out of time. We have an entrepreneur program the last Sunday of every month from 3 to 5 at the Bonds office located in Inglewood. It's a simple way of starting your own business. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to be educated. Just come out. My phone number is 213-759-3844. And for the rest of the men that are on the panel, we have their number at the office in case you miss it today. Tune in next Monday. Thank you guys for coming.
The family.